Now our opportunity to listen to those much needed words of exhortation, and this morning it will be our brother Ryland Coles.
Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure for me to be with you all this morning. Today, my exhortation will come from our third scripture reading, Acts chapter 20. And our main focus today will be on an aspect of our faith that has always stood out to me on my walk, that being the topic of commitment. Now, this is something I'm sure we all struggle with in varying degrees of difficulty when it comes to the truth. But during our time this morning, I want to offer different perspectives that may help us to look at our own lives and see where we are at. The examples I have to follow have been shining examples for me in the Bible that have helped solidify my commitment to the truth. I will also touch on this morning some key factors that we must remember as we make this journey together. Now, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 20 if you aren't already there. We see from verse 13 onwards that Paul is journeying to Jerusalem to try and attend the Passover in the holy city. He decides to sail past Ephesus and hopes to arrive in Jerusalem on time. So he calls the elders of the ecclesia there to him so that he may speak with them. This message is spoken in the verses 18 to 35, but we will focus mainly on the verses 22 to 25, which I will read now. Acts chapter 20, 22 to 25. And see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. These words were quite powerful from the Apostle Paul, demonstrating his incredible faith and commitments toward the truth. The Holy Spirit told him that he would face chains and imprisonment while he was still filled with joy to continue his journey. He specifically mentions that he has no care for his own life, but his main focus is serving God no matter what it takes. He demonstrates this type of behavior on multiple occasions and inspires many others to match this level of enthusiasm. We see previously in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 20, he was stoned by the multitudes for sharing the gospel and chastising them for believing and sacrificing to false gods. He was willing to stand up for his faith publicly, fully understanding the potential risk to his life. He knew what happened to individuals who had opposing beliefs to the Jews because he himself used to persecute and have Christians stoned for the same reasons. And we see that's what happened to him. What is also a testament to his level of commitment is that after he was stoned and dragged out of the city, he rose up and returned to the city just to depart the next day to continue preaching. I'm sure he would have been in agonizing pain from all the damage done to his body, and the journey to the next city would have been slow and painful. But this man would not rest until his work was completed. These events did not even discourage him from his mission, nor was he going to let his physical condition prevent him from carrying out the Lord's will. He continued to have this attitude until his final days, relentlessly working in the truth. Even imprisonment would not deter Paul. From his prison cell, he was writing letters to the ecclesias, teaching and exhorting to them, trying in every way he could to continue to share the gospel message and uplift his brothers and sisters. Now, can we say the same things about our own life? How committed are we to the truth? Fortunately for us, we will most likely not be put in those extreme situations, but that is not the case for everybody. There are brothers and sisters right now that have been put in these situations. They are having to show how committed they are with their actions as we speak. Our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan are being persecuted for their faith. And this also happens in other places. Recently, our brothers and sisters in the Cameroon were facing similar hardships. They do not have the same luxury we have right now. They don't get to imagine what they might do in these situations and try and do better. They must act, risking their lives while continuing to carry out God's will. Can we say we are committed enough to handle and face these types of trials? If we were to face these situations tomorrow, would we be ready? We may not face these challenging situations, but we are expected to have the same level of faith and commitment. So I'd like for us to spend a bit of time doing some self-reflection to help see where our level of commitment is. I'm going to ask some simple questions that I want you all to think about and try your best to be honest with yourself. How much time have you set aside for the truth in the last week? What have you done recently for fellow members in our ecclesia? Are we putting the needs of others before our own like we should be? What have we sacrificed to make time for spiritual things? Or have we sacrificed spiritual things to make time for ourselves? And how often do we preach or bring up the Word of God with non-believers? These are all questions we should think deeply about. And I think if we have all contemplated that reality, we would all agree that we have fallen short. I know that I have, and I'm not exactly proud of all the answers that I have to those questions either. But thankfully, we have an ecclesia, a family that is there for each other to uplift and encourage one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We do not have to do this all on our own. We are stronger together, and we need to remember that. We also have our merciful Father in heaven that is continually there for us, listening and answering our prayers, giving us countless opportunities to do better and to please him, and providing us with the perfect example of how to live our life through the life of his Son. All this information is perfectly preserved in this book for our instruction. And as we know, this perfect example is our Lord Jesus Christ, a man who dedicated his life to God and sacrificed his mortal body through much pain to give each of us an opportunity for salvation. Jesus was the epitome of dedication and commitment to God. He spent the vast majority of his time teaching and serving others without any expectation of something in return. He only wanted to see the faith and love of others continue to grow so that we may all understand the true blessing we have to be on this earth. Jesus shows us his selfless character in Pilate's court and the events leading up to his sacrifice on the cross. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 23, and we see what unfolds in Pilate's court. It begins by Jesus being accused of three crimes, yet Pilate and Herod could find no fault in him. In parallel accounts, the multitudes bring forth false witnesses to accuse Jesus of these things, but Jesus still does not defend himself and remains silent. Jesus definitely understood the consequence to these crimes, but remains faithful to his mission. And as the multitudes were screaming to crucify him, He did not cry out and beg for mercy. He has accepted his role and is committed to fulfilling it. He even shows his love and compassion towards all those responsible. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 46. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus was forgiving and faithful to the end. He was willing to endure the excruciating pain on the cross, not only for the brothers and sisters of that time, but for all of humanity, that we may have the opportunity to be saved. It was through his undying love for mankind that all of this is possible. This memorial meeting would not exist if Jesus had not committed his life to the truth. But we see before us this morning that he did commit his life to the truth. The bread and wine, representing his flesh and blood, sits on this table before us to see and remember his perfect life. His sacrifice and his victory over sin and death, that we may be forgiven. So as we use this time now to focus on the emblems, we should also reflect on our own life and examine ourselves. Not just on our sins and shortcomings, but on our strengths as well. Recognize our faults and strive to do better, but also think of how we can lean on our strengths to become better servants. We have been given this family of believers that we may learn from each other and help each other in our walks. All of us are making time to be here for the same reasons, so we need to be using this time productively. Take action and step outside of our comfort zones. Inspire and encourage others through our words and our actions. Think of ways that we can further commit our lives to God while putting aside the thoughts of the flesh. We all have a responsibility to give back generously and to make time to strengthen our relationships. Each of us will struggle in this life, but if this ecclesia is strong with Christ as our head, we will persevere through all trials and tribulations this world will throw at us. This world is putting more and more pressure on us to conform to the flesh, but the return of our Lord is fast approaching. So now is the time we must change. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And verse 35, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry.